Jesus went away from there and withdrew himself. And a Canaanite woman from the region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But Jesus didn't even answer a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away. She keeps shouting." And he answered and said, "I wasn't sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And then she said, "No, he didn't." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Oh, woman, of your faith is so great, it shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Deliverance is the children's bread. I didn't even hit you with my regular "what up, though." But what up, though? I read this book a couple of times. It's called Pigs in the Parlor by Frank and Ida May Hammond. Very popular book, about 1 million copies sold. It is a book about deliverance. And deliverance is, just to be honest with you, it belongs to the children. It belongs to the children. You cannot be demon possessed if you're a child, but you can definitely be influenced by demon. You can see the influence of demons. So deliverance belongs to the children. It should be something that should happen in every church across the world. I know it happens in our church. Our pastors, we are in a deliverance ministry. The book goes on and it talks about, you know, it talks about deliverance and mental health, schizophrenia. There's a section in the book that I love, and it talks about rebellion and rejection becoming like a hurricane for schizophrenia. And you see it inwardly and you see it outwardly. You know, so when you're inward, it keeps you from giving and receiving love, both from God and from people. It keeps you married to the world for love. It makes you tell all, seeking attention, punishment, and correction. It includes inordinate affection for animals with honesty at all costs, seeking evidence for suspicions. Outwardly, it keeps you from looking at yourself. It makes you disobey, makes you anti-submissive. It makes you look for selfish desires. It generates mental and spiritual seductive issues, tempt, mislead, decay, decoy, delusion, misleading of the mind. This book is so powerful. It talks about the different demon groupings. So we are going to talk about deliverance. And, you know, it goes into bitterness. You know, the common demon groupings of bitterness. For example, with bitterness, you find resentment, hatred, unforgiveness, violence, temper, anger, retaliation, murder, rebellion, self-will, stubbornness, disobedience, anti-submissiveness, control, is possessiveness, dominance, witchcraft, retaliation. We are going to talk about deliverance in today's episode. And I don't go too deep into detail about stuff, because I do want to bring on experts and really, really help the cause for deliverance. But there is a war, and we have to be prepared as children of God and be set free so we can set the captives free. So, thanks for tuning in. Let's go. Hey Hey guys, I wanted to share with you our store, influenceunlimited.com. It is spelled UNLMTD for the unlimited portion, and you can find it at www.influenceunlimited.com. UNLMTD. Our store sells Christian apparel, wristbands, and hats for now. We want to grow it, but for now, that's what we have. It is directly inspired by biblical verses. So the message of hope is very prominent. The message of just glorifying God is very prominent. You can find us on Facebook at Influence Unlimited. If you wanted to purchase and support, you get 20% off if you use the code DISRUPTOR. DISRUPTOR. Hope you enjoy. Check us out. Many Christians, there's a lot of us, but very few of us believe in holiness. Some of us really just look at Jesus as our homeboy, right? Like, we worship him, we love him, he's there, we can pray, and we go on about our day, but we're not ready to adjust and grow as God desires. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's why deliverance is important. Deliverance isn't the cure-all, it isn't the end-all, be-all, but it is the bread that belongs to a child. Deliverance allows the child to be able to receive the whole estate. Galatians 4, 1 through 7 puts it this way. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time is set by his father. So also, when we are underage, we are in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when we set time, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, his daughters, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, and the spirit who calls out Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are a child, God has made you also an heir. But as an heir, you can't have what belongs to you if you still struggle in areas that you shouldn't be struggling with. So let's talk about some of those areas, and then we're going to go into this idea of deliverance. It's very important for us to talk about deliverance in our gatherings now, because there's many of people who are broken and hurting within the body of Christ, even outside of the body of Christ, right? But let's just talk about, because, you know, the title is Deliverance of Children's Bread. So let's just talk about within the body of Christ. There's many of us who struggle with issues of bitterness and abandonment and anger and frustration because maybe perhaps our father left the family and we have unresolved issues in our heart. Maybe because a spouse cheated on us, or maybe because one of our children, God forbid, one of our children passed away, or somebody we were really close with passed away, and we're trying to figure out why God allowed this to happen, or maybe because we lost it all, or maybe because we were molested, raped, and we're trying to say that we worship, lift our hands, but we're still broken inside. So we struggle with a lot of things. And so deliverance is very important. And let me show you some signs of you know, what it looks like when you're delivered versus when you're still struggling with deliverance. And then we'll go from there. We're going to go into a few other things, and we'll talk about demon possession, which cannot happen to the children of God, because demon possession means when you possess something, it means you own it. But when you're a child of God, you are owned by Christ. We just read that in Galatians, right? So you're an heir. You can't be possessed, but you can definitely be influenced. You can definitely be trespassed upon, right? Remember, Satan doesn't get squatter's rights for your life. He doesn't get squatter's rights. So he trespasses. And his objective is to steal, kill, and destroy. People, witchcraft is real. Satanism, the occult, is real. Generational curses are real. So here's the difference when you have, and I just want you to see it, the fruits of the Spirit, and this is what it looks like when you're free and you're delivered, and the fruits of the flesh. We'll start with the fruits of the flesh first, okay? And the Bible says in Galatians 5:19-26. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are... So if I list these again, man, I'm not using this platform to judge you. Again, this is to inform and to help us all break through, have chains broken, you know, so we can all walk in the fullness of God's love for our life. So don't take this and be like, yo, who is this guy talking to me like this? Listen, man, I'm just saying deliverance belongs to you. Take that. I deliver myself every day, man. There's days where I'll be in the mirror at the house just before I take a shower and be like, yo, in the name of Jesus, you just got to get out. This anger in my spirit got to get out towards this person. I got to learn how to forgive this person. You know, I got to learn how to forgive this. I got to learn how to deal with this. I do it every day, literally. So this ain't, I'm not dissing you, man. Don't take it like that. Like, let's just all get free. But if I list these and you're like, hey, man, I'm experiencing some of these, hit me up. Let's pray together. You know? So the works of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication, unclean. You know, I'm going to change this is a new King James version, but I'm going to put it in the English Standard Version because some of the words like lasciviousness, first of all, I can't even say it right. And so I don't, you know. I don't want you to make fun of me or anything. not that I care, but you know. So, if you're struggling with any of these and you're still saved, you're still going to church every Sunday, you're still worshiping, but you still struggle with this. Porn addiction. Alcoholism. Right? You're still struggling with this. Then we have some deliverance. And it's good because it belongs to you. Applauso! Yeah, this belongs to you. You have access to this. God wants you to be free. So let's talk about it. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries. So if I'm just walking around being jealous of somebody, if I'm just walking around having fits of, I'm just yelling for no reason. Just yelling for no reason. A cat drinking milk out the bowl. Get out the bowl, right? I'm just yelling. Rivalries. I'm always in competition with somebody. My neighbor bought a new car. I got to get a new car. My neighbor got the new washer and dryer with the Wi-Fi and the talk. You can yell, wash the white clothes. I got to get it. I got to get mine in black. Right, my neighbor just got a new roof. I gotta get it. Like, come on, man. Rivalries, dissensions, divisions. Churches be divided all the time. I've gone to churches, man. I've been in churches where the division is so clear, you can feel it. This group don't talk to that group. There's this group. There's that group. It's not even a community. It's just we a gang. Like this is this gang. This is that gang. But we all go to church together. But we don't mess with that gang. They don't mess with this gang. It's corny, man. So divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Remember, you're saved, but you still ain't getting the full inheritance. But the fruit of the Spirit, now, this is evidence of the Holy Spirit's indwelling and who he is for you and how he starts to change your life once the Spirit comes in. Because remember, authority is given to us once we accept Jesus, but power is given to us once we're filled with the Spirit of God. And this is what power looks like: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So, in the intro, I told you I'm reading this book. I'm reading it again. Like I said, it's my second time. It's my second time reading it. I may have read it one more time. I don't really remember, but I do like reference this book. We're in a deliverance ministry, and my wife is really into deliverance. She loves to pray deliverance over people, over our children, over me. We're really into deliverance in our house. I wanted to read this book again. And I don't remember what triggered me wanting to read Pigs in the Parlor by Frank and Ida May Hammond. I don't remember what triggered it. I don't know if it, I think it was just like, hey, I'm about to start doing this podcast. I want to give as much information out. So let me read this again. I don't really remember if that was it or if it was just the Spirit of God telling me, hey, you should read this again. But nonetheless, we're here. So I want to go into a couple of things. I want to go into groupings of, demonic influence. And then I want to talk about the armor of God. And then I want to talk about schizophrenia. Okay. And then from there, what's important for me after that is, making sure we bring on the right guests to talk about this right topic and give us as much information as possible. So let's start with the armor of God. Okay, so the book says demons are spiritual enemies, and it's the responsibility of each Christian to deal with them directly in spiritual warfare. So we go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Okay. And then we're going to also look at 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. So Ephesians, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the entire armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. So this is a spiritual battle. This is why the Christian needs deliverance. This is why it belongs to you. This is a spiritual battle. You cannot go at life alone. You need to be set free because God needs you to, he wants to work through you to set others free. Okay? So here's what happens here. Here's what we see. There's an analogy of wrestling. It's a reference. So our warfare with Satan and his host, his team, this is a wrestling match. Okay? This is a close encounter. We are fighting. We're wrestling. We're trying to pin one another down. I'm not talking about WWE. I'm not trying to stone cold stun Satan and then crack a couple of beers. Like, I am trying to pin him down for good. Otherwise, what I don't fix, I repeat. Let's go. What we don't fix, we repeat. And what we repeat, we accept and we become. So I'm trying to pin him down and get this over with, right? But on the flip side, he's trying to do the same thing with me. That's why you can see some families dealing with generational curses of poverty over and over and over again, even when they've been given new information. Why? Because ain't nobody decide. Ain't nobody take that moment and say, look, man, I'm about to knock this one out. I'm getting tired of this demon. I'm getting tired of my family living below the poverty level, yet we fix everybody's car in the neighborhood. We do everybody's hair in the neighborhood. Right? We fix everybody's websites in the neighborhood. So we got to get this thing together. So look, wrestling is also pressure tactics. So Satan puts pressure on us. And he loves to pressure us in areas of our thought life, our emotions, decision makings, and our physical bodies. Is this true or false? So there's a couple of things that happens in Ephesians, and I want you to catch it, okay? And I ask, is that true or false? It's true or false, right? Like, do you feel sometimes your mind is just talking to you, telling you you can't do something? Do you feel you sometimes getting sick and you're like, yo, my mama had high blood pressure and then I got high blood pressure? Well, we know a couple of things there. High blood pressure runs in the family, but it runs in the family because poor eating habits run in the family. So once you take dominion over that, you get the information and you tell Satan, not today, bruh. You go to wrestle against it and you start to change the eating patterns of your family, you overcome high blood pressure. But see, what people often forget is that, you know, we look at David and Goliath and we say David beat up Goliath, he won that battle. But we forget the fact that David had to go back to war in the very next paragraph. It wasn't over. The Philistines weren't going to go down easy. And that's how you got to approach this deliverance thing. It's a constant everyday wrestling match. You don't just give up, or I'm sorry, you don't just win and then it's over. Like, this is a constant thing. Life is progressive. It's always going to be something you got to overcome, right? But then it goes into a few things here. First, in Ephesians 6, we're told that we are fighting against principalities. Well, the Greek word for principalities is archos. Okay, the words used to describe things in a series as leaders, rulers, and magistrates. Okay, so Satan is mad organized. He's mad organized. So we can't look at Satan and just think, you know, oh, he don't know. Just say, no. There's rank. There's organization. The kingdom is organized, right? Our government is organized. We have judicial, legislative, and executive branches. We're organized. Our armies are organized as generals, captains, majors, lieutenants, right? Colonels. Okay? Now, what's the English word for principality? Well, that's defined as the territory or jurisdiction of a prince or the country that gives title to a prince. Again, I really believe, yo, Satan is so organized that he puts some of his lieutenants, his colonels, his generals, his soldiers, in churches, in families, in communities, right? In jobs, in states, in countries, in continents. You can see that in the book of Daniel. Yeah, when Daniel started his fast, it took him 21 days to get the result. And the angel said, I had to fight against the principality. I had to fight against the prince. It's a principality. He wasn't fighting against the actual physical prince. You think an angel is going to be struggling with an actual human prince? Nah, it was a spiritual thing. Second thing I want you to catch too. We're told that our warfare is against powers. The Greek word translated to powers is exousias, E-X-O-U-S-I-A-S. This word is accurately translated as authorities. Therefore, demons are placed over various areas or territories. Y'all, I'm trying to give you some game. Free 99. This is why it's important for deliverance. Okay? This is why it's very important for deliverance. Remember, just keep this with you, that Satan, okay, he's structured. He knows what he's trying to accomplish. He knows which communities he wants to tear apart. They're structured. Next, we see, third, we wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world. So the word in the Greek for world rulers is kosmokratoris, kratorisis, or something like that. Kosmo, K-O-S-M-O. Emo, Cosmo, Kra, Toraz. The word could be translated into lords of the world or princes of this age. So we have to put on the whole armor of God because we fighting against some real things. So deliverance is important. Again, deliverance impacts our family. It impacts our community. It impacts us individually. It impacts our finances, our health. It impacts so much, right? I want to go into some common demon groupings. This is why we need deliverance, yo. I'm gonna break down these groupings. So the first word that I use is gonna be, I'm not gonna do a bunch, there's a bunch of them in the book. The book lists a bunch of them. I'm not gonna go through all of them because that can get a little bit much for just for a podcast. But it goes through a few of them. Then I wanna go on through the schizophrenia one, mental illness, mental health, right? So the first word I list is the grouping title. And this is a demon that's over this group. And these are some of the attributes that come within this grouping. So the first one I'm going to talk about is insecurity. Insecurity comes with inferiority, self-pity, loneliness, the feeling of being timid, shy, inadequate, inept. Another one's depression. Depression comes with despair, discouragement, feeling defeated, dejected, hopeless, suicidal, death, insomnia. Man, what about nervousness, tension, headaches, nervous habits, restlessness, excitement, insomnia again, worry, anxious, fear, dread, apprehension, paranoia, jealousy, envy, suspicion, distrust, persecution, fears, confrontation, confusion, frustration, incoherence, forgetfulness, perfection, pride, vanity, ego, frustration, criticism, irritability, intolerance, anger, competition, drive, and argument, pride, ego, driven, argument, pride, ego. There's so much more. Addictive and compulsive is another one. Nicotine, alcohol, drugs, medications, caffeine, gluttony. Gluttony comes with nervousness, compulsive eating, resentment, frustration, idleness, self-pity, self-reward. Cursing, when you're dealing with cursing, there's blasphemy, coarse jokes, gossip, criticism, backbiting, mockery, belittling, railing. I repent from cursing. We're not perfect. Let's all get healed. Right? Like, you hear those things, you're like, look, I got to deal with some stuff myself. Religion, that's another one. Ritualism, formalism, legalism, doctrinal obsession, seduction, doctrinal error, fear of God, fear of hell, fear of lost salvation, religiosity, the occult, Ouija boards, palmistry, handwritten analysis, automatic handwritten, ESP, hypnotism, horoscopes, astrology, levitation, fortune telling, water witching, tarot cards, pendulum, witchcraft, black magic, white magic, conjuration, incantation, charms, fetishes, cults, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Baha'ism, Mormonism, false religions, sexual impurity, a lot of things that we need to be set free from. Again, you could be saved and still struggle. And deliverance belongs to you. You accepted Christ, deliverance belongs to you. If you heard any of those things I just said and you're like, yo, I struggle with that, put on the armor of God and say, God, help me deal with this and set me free, because I don't want to have to deal with this no more. I don't want to have to compete against them. I don't want to have to make somebody feel bad. I don't want to have to gossip. I don't want to. That's just not who I am in you. And I want to be set free. I cancel, you know, anything that's open, any door that's open. I ask that you close that door and you forgive me of my sins. I ask that you help me and set me free. This kind of teaching might get me banned. Yeah, but it's all right. If I could just get one person to listen to this and be set free, I did my part. The last part that I want to kind of go into is schizophrenia, mental illness. And it's so deep. But imagine, if you will, there's two hands. And the two hands are gripping one another. They're gripping one another. And one hand is rebellion and one hand is rejection. And they're gripping one another. And although one is trying to break free, so it starts to loosen fingers here and there, the other hand is still gripping onto it. And so this has an inward effect and an outward effect. And I kind of give you some of it. I gave you some of it in the intro. But imagine, if you will, let's say rejection is my right hand, rebellion is my left hand, and I'm gripped together. And so this is what schizophrenia is. So I'm fighting because I want to be heard, but I'm afraid that if you hear me, you might not receive what I'm saying. I want to be seen. So I start to wild out. I become loud and boisterous. But then once you stop paying attention, I start to feel this rejection, and then I become louder. Or I might just get quiet all the way and try to disappear and then try to harm myself just to get your attention again, or try a different approach and become promiscuous just to get your attention again. So imagine, if you will, these two hands are gripping each other and the fingers are coming off, but rebellion is still holding on really tight to rejection. It won't let it go. And then flip side, rejection is still holding on to rebellion. It won't let it go. God has to come and really separate the two and deal with both of those individually so this person can show fruits of the Spirit. Guys, it's a great book. And again, I believe Frank and Ida have both gone to the Lord already, but I will have experts on here to talk about deliverance. Again, I believe it's the children's bread. I believe God wants us free from mental illnesses, spiritual, physical, anything that's harming us and getting us to where we're supposed to be in Christ. I believe God's desire is for his children to be fully free and holy as he is holy. So like I said, if I listed anything and you heard something that you're struggling with, start to deal with it. Cast it out. I love you, and I'm excited for your deliverance. As always, I think it's a good thing for us to end with a new beginning. So we're going to pray really quick. We're not going to make it too long, too winded, but we're going to make it effective. I just want you to repeat after me. God, I acknowledge that I missed the mark, and I acknowledge I need your grace. Today, I ask you for forgiveness, and I accept your son Jesus in my heart as my Lord and Savior. I ask you also to be filled with your Holy Spirit, to be empowered to be a bold witness about your love and your mercy. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.